Hi, I'm Kyla.
And this is Jay.
And you're listening to Strange Fruit by Louisville Public Media.
Welcome back to listeners. How are you? So, Doc, as I mentioned last week, this month, there are two people who are close to you who have birthdays in July.
Yes.
Namely, number one being...
you.
No, okay. Oh, good.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say number one being Missy. No, but...
Yes.
numbers ones...
I know you wanted you to be number one, yes.
No, I was okay with being number two, but you're right. It's me and Missy. We both have birthdays this month.
Yes.
And all that to say that I know it can be really difficult figuring out what kind of card you get somebody close to you for your birthday.
Yes.
And I know that you probably are inclined to get like a Beyonce greeting card, which, you know, that wouldn't move me very much. I prefer... like a Denzel Washington greeting card, because that's who I feel like I favor, but they probably don't make those. And so, lucky for us, you recently came across a really wonderful feature. It was actually on Afropunk, but you've known about this company for a while. They make wonderful greeting cards that feature Black folk, multicultural folk, and LGBT people, and the greeting cards, multi-purpose greeting cards. And so we just had to get on the phone today, y'all.
Yes.
The proprietor of Lavender Pop greeting cards. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Otis Richardson. Otis, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you guys doing?
Phenomenal.
Good.
Thank you so much for being with us today. So
thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, as I mentioned, my birthday is this month, and I was perusing your Etsy store, and Doc, I found the perfect card. There is this Black man. And he got his buns out.
I know.
You know what I'm talking about. He got his buns out. He's holding a birthday cake.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, that is a perfect card for me. But I guess the most obvious question, Otis, is what led you to create, well, tell us what Lavender Poppy is and what led you to create a lot of greeting cards that reflect more than what we usually see in the neighborhood supermarket.
Yeah, well, Lavender Pop, you know, like you said, is a Black and multicultural and LGBTQ greeting card line. And basically, I started it because, you know, years ago, I just didn't see cards that really had images of Black LGBTQ people on them. I'm in Chicago, so, you know, I would go to the North Side to, you know, the gayborhood, and, you know, I would go to bookstores and gift shops, and, you know, I would see, you know, gay greeting cards, but very few of them had people of color images on them. And so this was back in the early 2000s that I was kind of doing research and you know, looking at the cards that were out there. And I said, you know, this is like a market that really hasn't been tapped. And so I felt like, you know, this is something that I could do. You know, this is something that I could sort of put out there in terms of, you know, images not being there. So, you know, why don't I do it? And so that's kind of really the start of Lavender Pop, just creating something that I hadn't seen.
Yeah, I mean, and it's certainly needed. I mean, every time I go to look for a nice and beautiful card, like either in a Hallmark store or a Walgreens or a Rite Aid, you just don't see enough of us. And I know that they have like mahogany and stuff, but those messages in mahogany cards to me are very cheesy, and they definitely don't deal with queerness in any way.
They
definitely don't have any kind of sex positive stuff or anything like that. So when did you start, you know, drawing, Otis? Like, when did you first learn that you were gifted? And because your cards are absolutely beautiful. And so when
Thank
did you,
you
first desire to become an illustrator? And also, when did you start drawing and be like, I can draw?
You know, I started when I was a child. It was just a natural talent. And luckily for me, my parents really encouraged me. And so I just kept drawing. And I knew I was good at it at an early age. And then from that point on, I just took, you know, art classes and, you know, took art classes in high school and even grammar school, and then decided to, you know, study on the graduate level. So I just kept, you know, learning and studying and drawing and painting, but it really just started as like a natural gift.
I love it. I love it. Mm. So are all of your designs, are they all original designs, or do you at this point begin to accept, like, do you collaborate with folks, or is all the artwork original pieces by you?
Yeah, all of the artwork right now is my design.
Okay.
I hope to get to a point where the line is so big, or let's say I'm in, you know, a lot of retail stores or whatever, and the line really has to be expanded where I can bring other people in, because, you know, I certainly know other illustrators and photographers, and people have certainly sent me things, you know, in the past. But, you know, right now it's just my original illustrations.
I love it. And you have cards that run the gamut. So you have happy birthday, get well soon, thinking of you, relationships, encouragement. Do you remember Valentine's Day, Christmas? Do you remember, Otis, what your very first card was? Do you still remember, like, because you have lots now, but do you remember the very first design you did?
The very first design. You know, I don't know if it's on the Etsy page, because I have another website, just lavenderpop.com, which is my main site. But my first design may have been one called, I'm trying to think of it. It's something about the pioneers.
Okay.
And let me actually try to bring it up.
In terms of like LGBT pioneers?
Yeah. Actually, it's called Honoring the Pioneers Among Us. And so I used to do freelance illustration for Windy City Times and Black Lines, which is a LGBT publication in Chicago.
Yes.
And I would do, you know, illustrations and graphics and things like that. And the publisher, Tracy Bain, asked me to do a cover for like a Black History Month issue. And I remember drawing Bayard Rustin, Audre Lorde, Gladys Bentley, Pat Parker, and was one other person. I can't remember. I have to bring it up. But that was kind of like one of my first images, and I decided to keep that and use it as a greeting card.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like a card that you would give to someone who's an activist or someone who's just doing anything, you know, in the community. And it's not like a big seller. But it was kind of like a card that I felt like was really important, especially if I'm doing a Black LGBT, you know, greeting card line. I felt like I wanted to spotlight, you know, these kind of Black, you know, icons. Bayard Rustin, that was the other person that I left out. So it was like those five, like, iconic, you know, people. And so that was probably the first card that I did.
Oh, my God. I absolutely love that. Do you have a favorite card? I mean, I'm sure that all of them have to be your favorites. But when I was scrolling through on the Etsy shop, I love the Namaste card. I mean, it's like a homage to black femme yogis. And it's also like in homage to like Namaste, right?
It's
Namaste. So it's incorporating that kind of pop edge. And I mean, I love that one. I love the disco birthday one. I love all of them. So, like, do you have a favorite or maybe a top, your top three favorites?
Definitely the Namaste is in my top three. You know, and I thought I was so clever when I came up with that.
It is clever.
And I'm like, you know, and then I Googled Namaste, and it's like, man, this has been around for years. You know, this is on mugs and T-shirts.
But never on a greeting card. Like, never on a greeting card. So you did well, yes.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll put my, you know, twist on it. And, you know, I'll have a sister with, you know, big natural hair and, you know, hoop earrings and like a psychedelic, you know, background. And, you know, I'll like, you know, put my spin on it. And so that's how that came about. And it also came about because I was talking to a buyer here in Chicago, and she liked my cards, but she said blank cards do better in their store. And I don't have a whole lot of blank cards. And so that's how the Namaste came about. I needed to design just a blank card with without me putting, you know, words and text and all of that stuff in there, you know, just to have a really cool image and then have people, you know, like write their own sayings. And then the other two new cards with the people who have like a fade hairstyle.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the other two cards. And like those two cards and the Namaste card just came out like a couple weeks ago. Like those are like my newest cards. And I really like those because when I started the line back in 2004, I think I saw myself as like a Black LGBT, you know, greeting card line, but certainly I wanted to have cards that would appeal to, you know, everybody. So it was kind of like an alternative to the Hallmarks and the Mahoganys. But now I think as I design new cards, it's like I want them to have more of my, you know, personality and more of, you know, what I like as opposed to, well, I need to do like a general birthday card or thinking of you or something. It's like I want something that is very distinctive. And so those top three, you know, I would go with. But also there's a friendship card. It says your friendship, and it has illustrations of four iconic like Black women hairstyles. And that's one of my favorite cards. So on that card, you have like a woman with a kind of beehive hairstyle from the 50s. And then you have the like 70s Angela Davis afro. And then you have someone with a jerry curl. It's like, you know, how many greeting cards have a jerry curl on them? It's like, I had to do that. And then the last one has like this kind of updo. It kind of represents like what I saw in the 90s in Chicago.
And such, because yeah, like waterfall, what we call waterfalls, Doc. And like, yeah, it's like the little waterfall.
Yes, yes,
and such, yeah,
yes. It's very like it doesn't move. The hairstyle doesn't move.
She's sculpted.
And so I just felt like, and that's kind of like a card where the image came first and the words came later. But I knew I wanted to do something with like different hairstyles. So those would be like my top favorites.
I love it. I love it. Well, I'll tell you what my favorite is.
Which one is yours?
I'm already decided now. Of course, listeners, y'all know me. I've known me for 6 years now, perpetually single. But when I do find a dude, Doc, I've already picked out what card I'm going to order from this website.
Okay.
The card, the front of the card says, what's my type? And it has an image of six different men of color. You know, some got locks, some got, like a little mini fro. And but the inside is so sweet because y'all know, listeners, I'm a romantic at heart. And so I'm going to read for you all the text. Some have a fantasy image of Mr. Right. They got it down to a skin tone, eye color, hair, and height. I don't really have a picture painted in my head. I prefer to have a soul connection instead. You're a special man who defies any category. Meeting you has been a joy, and that's no story.
Oh, isn't I love that. Sweet? I love that. I mean, so in addition to illustrating, do you also write the messages in the cards, Otis?
I do.
My God, I love that. So you're like a poet, an illustrator. I mean, just like
a Renaissance man.
Yeah. So tell our
It was kind of out of necessity because when I first started designing cards, I had a business partner, my friend Hannah Anderson, and we started doing cards back in like '99, and you know, no one was really doing like kind of an alternative to mahogany, like back in Chicago in 99, or at least like not like having a website. So we were just, you know, commiserating about our jobs and lack of jobs. And it's kind of like, what can we do, you know, together? You know, I'm an artist, she's a writer, what can we do? And so we both had kind of like a light bulb moment. It's like, well, what about greeting cards? It's like, okay, we knew nothing about the greeting card industry. And so, you know, we did some research and decided to, you know, do a couple sketches and design a few cards. And so at that time, we went to Kinko's, you know, like, so you know how long ago this was. And so we designed some cards at you know, Kinko's, printed them out, and took them to, you know, some local Black business stores. And they basically sold out. So, like, we knew we were on to something. And so during that time, because she was the writer, you know, I kind of let her handle all of that. And, you know, we did it for, you know, about a year or so. And at one point, we were actually in a couple Walgreens stores, actually a few Walgreens stores in Chicago. But after a year, you know, we decided to dissolve the business because it was just like really time consuming. But I still kind of had the itch to design cars. It's like I really love the process of doing it. And so that's when I launched my own line, and I decided, well, I'll do the art and I'll do the writing too. What the heck?
I love it. I love it.
Oh my God. I love it. So tell our audience, Otis, how they can get a card for their bae, for their family member.
And I want to say to our listeners, y'all, these cards are very, very, very reasonably priced.
I think so too.
Like they're comparable, if not more reasonable than what you're going to find in your neighborhood market, right? So, you know, I know that sometimes our fear with entrepreneurs and independent folk is that I can't quite afford what you're offering, but these are very, y'all, I'm telling you, listeners, check it out because they're reasonably priced. Let me say that. But yeah, so let us know, Otis, what the website is or in the name in the Etsy store, how folk can go and peruse your offerings and get something there.
Yeah, thank you. The main website is lavenderpop.com, but there's also a site on Etsy.com. So if you go to Etsy.com and type in Lavender Pop Cards all together, Lavender Pop Cards, you'll see my page. And I'm on social media. I have a Facebook page for lavenderpop.com. I have a Twitter at lavenderpoppin and on Instagram at lavenderpop.
I love it. Now, before we let you go, I saw on your Facebook that you recently were a vendor at the Chicago Esteem Awards, right?
Yes.
So you know my Uncle Phil Esteem. He's my uncle. I've known him since way back. I was in the ball scene. And we actually got an award, Doc. We got an Esteem Award.
Yeah.
Was it 2015 or 2016?
Yeah, I think it was 2015.
Yeah, so small world.
For best
so please tell my Uncle Philip that that Jason and Kyla from Strange Fruit send their love, okay?
I will let him know. That's so awesome.
Yes.
I know. Yeah. I love it. And thank you so much, Otis, for joining us.
And please take care.
Thank you so much. It's great talking to you all.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
How cool. Well, that was really, really neat. I love it.
I know.
Like, you know what? Like I said, Doc, what surprised me the most was just how reasonably priced these cards are.
I know, because it's you know, it's really, really troubling to go into, especially like to go into the Hallmark store. You have cards that range like from $5.95 to like $7, depending on if they have like a sticker that goes with it or it makes a sound or some like confetti comes out. And so like for it to
I hate to like flip the card on the back and like look at this like $10. I'm gonna go to the Dollar Tree and I'm gonna get two cards for $1 and I still love you, Dad. You know,
So it's reasonably priced. Illustrations are great. Authentic, original poetry. I mean, you can't
beat it. And the art is sexy. I mean, there's no... Okay.
Yeah, I know.
I want to say this one, but it makes me blush. So I mentioned the card with the dude with his butt out, and he's holding some cake. He's holding, like, a birthday cake, right?
Yes.
And he's, like, licking the icing off his finger. And the inside of the cake says, I want you to have your cake. Can I say this? I want you to have your cake and eat you too.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm sure, you know, we're a pirate. But again, let's keep it real. Like people want, especially if you're in the prime, I mean, you're a newlywed, Doc, as I often point out, you're in the prime of your...
You're always saying newlywed. We've been married for 2 years.
That's still newlywed time. No
I mean,
shade.
No, how is it newlywed? Is. How long does it last?
On the newlywed game, I think you could be like basically like 10 years or less.
No.
Oh, whatever.
No, you can't be married for a decade and still be a newlywed.
What do you feel like?
I feel like newlywed means like at least a year.
No, it's not a year or less. No.
Oh,
I feel
not.
Like it's probably like two or less.
Okay, well, listeners,
let us know.
What is
tweet
a newlywed?
Yeah, we should find out. But I'm going to say that you're still in the prime of your, you know, romantic. And so you want a sexy.
Yeah. You're still feeling lusty and free. Yes.
Yeah, like, I love you. You know, thank you for, you know, like, no, you won't. Like, I want your cake and I want to eat you too.
Yeah, and because Otis has a variety of cards,
they
go from like lusty to really romantic to even like a budding romance, right?
Like,
the beginning stages.
So there's like Mother's Day cards. So again, there's some of them are, you know, there's ones that like are about encouragement. There's some about youth LGBT pride. There's even one about testing. So there really is, y'all, a variety of cards. And so I just thank you, Doc. Really, thank you so much for bringing to my attention this Etsy store, because you know how I feel about card style. You know,
yes,
I love
you love sending things in the mail.
You and I were together a couple days ago. We had to go to the post office.
Yes.
So I could mail my dad his Father's Day card.
Yes.
Basically a month and a half late. But nonetheless, you know, but I just really love old-fashioned mail.
Yeah,
so,
you love snail mail.
So shout out to Otis.
It's the best. It's the best. So how you doing, Otis?
So there are a few things. We have not done really Juicy Fruit in a while, like an extensive Juicy Fruit doc, but what's making headlines in your world? What do you want to talk about today?
Well, first I wanted to talk about, like, on a more kind of serious note, for Juicy Fruit, I wanted to talk about the woman who scaled the Statue of Liberty.
Yes,
and how
that,
we
that was
live
nice.
For her,
yes.
Right? And so, you know, I think that, one, I mean, I loved that kind of, you know, what she did. I love that gesture. I love
that form of protest.
Yeah, that form of protest, yeah. And the statement that she was making around immigration, around keeping families together, and also around where's the children, right? Because she said, you know, I'm not coming down until the children are returned, right?
Yeah.
So
by the way, her name is Patricia, and I might be saying the last name incorrectly, Okumo?
Yes.
O-K-O-U-M-O-U.
Yes.
But she is an immigration activist, for lack of a better term. And you know, because people are wondering, because simultaneous to this happening, there are people on the Statue of Liberty who drop an ICE sign, right? A sign in protest of ICE.
Mm-hmm.
So people are wondering, is this person a part of that ICE protest? And then ICE protesters said, no, she's not with us. So she was an independent agent, but she also, you know, and I think that was wonderful because we don't often see people who are non-Latinx becoming immigration rights activists, right? Even though people from countries other than Latin American countries and Mexican countries and Mexico are adversely impacted by immigration, right? We know about people from the Middle East and there are also people from the continent, right? So I think it was really wonderful to see a Black woman taking a stand around immigration as well, huh?
Yeah, no, me too. I mean, I really, really felt inspired by it. I loved it. She was actually released on bail on her own recognizance, although she has been charged with 3 federal misdemeanors, to which, of course, she pled not guilty. And her court date is August 3rd at 10 a.m. So hopefully folks can kind of show up to the courtroom at NYC and support this wonderfully brave woman.
Continue to share a story, and she,
yes.
You know, she did an interview with the Guardian doc, and she was saying that they asked her like, "What's going through your mind as this is happening?" And she says that her, you know, her thought as she stood up on the Statue of Liberty was, "Are they going to shoot me?" You know, but she said that she wanted that what she did was symbolic because she really wanted protection from Lady Liberty, right, in a very literal kind of way, in a figurative way. The what Lady Liberty stood for and used to stand for, allegedly stands for, that she now very literally is like, I want protection from Lady Liberty from being shot. And so, I think I encourage people, if you have not been keeping up with that story, to really Google it and really keep up with this case, right, as you point out.
Yeah, no, I mean, yes.
I love it.
So
let's see what I have.
Okay,
let me see if I can find the story that I wanted to share with y'all.
Well, I have a story, too.
I have another story.
Yes.
Okay,
my other story is there is a new game show that has come out, and it is a quiz show at taking your best shot at paying off your student loan debt.
Okay.
I mean, I love this idea.
Is it like on a network or is it like...
Yeah,
like,
it's called Paid Off. And it's a game show from True TV.
Okay.
And it's actually premiering on Tuesday. So it's premiering next Tuesday on True TV. And in each episode, the host, you know, leads graduates of America's uniquely expensive educational system through 3 rounds of high-stakes trivia. And the ultimate prize is to pay off your student loan debt.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's roughly $500,000 to be given away during the show's 16 episodes. So,
oh, I was going
to
say, for not, one episode?
No,
like,
no, not one episode.
Shoot.
But for all 16 episodes,
They
will pay off your
student
loan.
But that's still a significant
debt.
Amount. Like, so the pot is $500,000 pot and over the course of the 16 episodes.
Yes.
And I guess, but I wonder, Doc, to what degree they're going to, you know, like, I wonder if it's going to be like pop culture trivia or they're going to, like, give you, like,
yeah,
Biology 101. Are they going to see if you got that degree in English Lit? Then let's see. Can you name who wrote the Three Musketeers?
I know.
Like,
I wonder if it is going to be about discipline or
like
about
college stuff. Yeah.
About the degree.
That would be shade if you embarrass people by quizzing them on whatever their major is.
Yeah, I really think it needs
to
center around pop stuff.
Yeah, of
I really, really do. I really think it needs to center around pop
stuff. So needless to say, you'll be submitting an application for the show.
I will.
Okay.
I will be submitting
an
application.
I'll be there to cheer you on.
And I want to compete in the game show.
Yeah.
Because I'm excited about, I think this is a really novel idea, seeing as how, you know, we're drowning in student loan debt. $1.5 trillion, to be exact, is the student loan debt across the nation. And so I think it's like a really novel idea. I think it's a good idea, and I will be tuning in.
All right, good stuff. So what's making headlines in my world, Doc, speaking of things that are kind of funny, kind of funny but kind of not. I'll tell you why it's kind of not after I tell the story. So there's a police officer in Fort Myers, Florida.
Yes.
His name is Tim McCormick, and he goes to Burger King, as we often do. All of us kind of go there, get a burger. You know, I like their flame-broiled Whopper Jr. with cheese and bacon.
Yeah, Whoppers are everything.
Yeah, I get my Whopper Jr. with cheese and bacon.
Yes.
So he goes to this Fort Myers Burger King. He gets a burger, goes home, and makes a Facebook status about what he perceives to have been a very unpleasant experience. He claims that as he's eating this burger, he discovers that the workers there have put dirt on his burger. That he's nearly to the end. He's biting his burger. He's eating it. It's yummy. But there's something funny in his mouth. And he looks down and he sees what he thinks is dirt or mud or, you know, grime.
Okay.
Right? So he says that he throws the rest of it out the window. He goes home. He does what all reasonable people do. They make a Facebook status about it. But, you know, the people at Burger King call wind of it. They're like, this is really serious. We're going to investigate this situation.
Okay.
The officer also says that on his receipt that he offers his proof of his food being tampered with on his receipt where it says police, right? That, you know, people can put different names on receipts and such, as we all know.
Okay.
And so it says police. He says, okay, that's never happened before. It says police on here. There was dirt in my burger. So BK does an investigation. They audit the video and the audio from start to finish. And it turns out, it was not dirt, but it was, in fact, salt and pepper. That every Burger King, as they prepare their frozen burgers, they use a salt and pepper blend. And so it wasn't dirt.
Oh, my God.
You know, I know people make the joke that salt is too spicy for white people. I know that's a running joke. But in this case, apparently, the salt and pepper tasted like dirt. And not only that, and so they say, well, why do they have police on his receipt? Well, apparently, when he goes to the register, as they sometimes do it like White House, they say, may I have your name to call out your order, right?
Right.
And so the clerk says, may I have your name? And he says, officer. And the clerk is like, what?
Okay.
He's like, police officer. You know,
So he's claiming that, one, he thinks that salt and pepper is dirt.
Yeah.
Two, he thinks because his receipt says police, even though he gave his name as police.
Yeah, they did that to
target. They targeted him.
Because it says police. It's like a code to like mess with his burger. But they go back and review the audio, and it's like, no, they put that because you said your name is police officer.
That's,
like, you didn't say, you know.
And
so for me, that was, you was already trying to be cute anyway. Like, if I say my name is Officer Smith, right?
Yeah.
Or say John, right? But no, you say my name is police officer.
Yeah.
So upon examination, I'm so glad that again, in this particular case, that the audio and video existed of that situation where those workers were exonerated. As it stands, there has not been a public apology from the officer towards that staff.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to say that the staff in this case did nothing wrong. And so when I said, Doc, I was going to tell you why it was not funny, because as I said on Facebook, there's a paranoid, hypervigilant part of his mind that convinced him that these people put dirt in his burger, right?
Mm-hmm.
What in his mind convinced him, like, no, these people put dirt in my burger, right? That's the same part of an officer's brain, of some officers' brains, that convinced them to shoot unarmed black men, women, and children, right?
Mm-hmm.
The same part of this officer's brain that said, these people put dirt in my burger. And that's his first thought of anything they could have done, right? Not this burger's bad, not this is some gristle, not this a little bit overdone, but they put dirt in my burger. Is the same thing that led that officer to shoot that young boy in the back a few weeks ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
That leads officers to shoot to shoot Tamir Rice in a park, right? That leads officers to make irrational, some officers, as the caveat, to make irrational, life-threatening, life-ending decisions because they're so hypervigilant and so paranoid in some aspects.
Very much
that,
so.
That their normal ways of operating and making sense of things no longer exist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, to some degree it's funny, right? But to some degree it's not funny.
Yeah, no, it's really, really not funny. And I think, just like you said, it's very illuminating as to how certain officers mistake the ages of citizens, right? Making Tamir Rice 20 years old as opposed to 12 years old, projecting this idea of danger, maliciousness, attack on certain citizens in all the cases that we've seen recently in media, right? So it is. It's the same part of the brain that basically projects different ideas, which are completely false and have, right, nothing to do with reality. So it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Yeah. I'm glad the workers were exonerated too. So
yeah, there's. I think you'll get a kick out of this next story, Doc. I saw this on someone's Facebook, and I thought we should talk about it at least briefly. So there was this music headline from 2003, this music writer wrote a piece for the New York Times. And this is the headline. This is when Beyonce, mind you, first goes solo from Destiny's Child.
Okay.
At the same time, Ashanti is at her height of her musical career.
Okay.
So the headline is, this is July 6th, 2003, in the music category, the solo Beyonce, : she's no Ashanti. And this writer goes on to highlight the ways in which the writer figures that that Ashanti is a real true pop star solo artist, that Beyonce really is a weak pop solo artist.
Destiny's Child.
Yeah, that it's very clear that her anthems are really, you know, are these kind of pop, silly pop anthems, you know, that she really is a wonderful part of her team, but she doesn't have what it takes to be a solo artist.
Oh my God.
And so it's interesting. Like, I wonder if Beyonce, like, kind of reads this headline and chuckles. You know, like, this is 15 years ago, and it's interesting how things can change.
I'm sure her and Jay be laying in the bed. I'm sure her and Blue Ivy.
And again,
Blue
this Ivy is no shade on Ashanti, because I like Ashanti. Yeah.
Okay, yes, but, I mean... Okay, we'll just
leave that at
I'll leave it alone.
There's no shade to Ashanti, but just saying, but the notion that someone once more trying to say that Beyonce don't have what it takes to be a solo artist.
I know. I just think that's
and she's the world's biggest
hilarious.
Pop star. Yeah.
I wonder if her and Blue honestly sit around during like playtime, like after she gives Blue her snacks, if they sit around and read funny stories like this, like
when people trying
you know,
her mother.
Yeah,
like, once upon a time,
it,
she's like, "Mother, read me a story."
You know,
once upon a time in the New York Times. Somebody said yeah, I didn't have what it takes to be a solo artist.
Yeah, I just think, oh my God, yeah. I love it. I love it.
I love it. The last story I want to share with you, Doc, which is a story that completely mortified me. So apparently there's a glitch in some people's smartphones that are randomly sending out their X-rated pictures.
Oh.
Now this is only affecting Samsung users. So listeners, if you have you got an iPhone, right?
Yeah, you know it's iPhone.
I have an LTE. Yeah,
it's iPhone.
You team
okay,
iPhone girl, please.
So basically,
team Android. Woo woo. That have Samsung should be aware, y'all, that there is. So no matter how hard you try to keep your private pictures private, there is a glitch in some people's Samsung phones. In particular, it's apparently the Galaxy S9. Basically there's a glitch that will take that your Messenger app will send the entire contents of your photo album to contacts in your phone.
Okay.
But the problem is that you have no idea it doesn't leave a trail, so you don't even get like a receipt. Like basically,
oh my God, so it's just not, sends it like, randomly.
Yeah, you don't even know it until someone calls you and says, "Yo, why did you send me a picture of your butt?" You know what I'm saying? Like basically, it sends your entire contents of your photo album.
And it doesn't necessarily designate the contact that sends it to.
Nope. It it to every contact in your phone. And
oh
so, you know, so someone reported it. This has actually been reported on reddit.com, which is the website where people go and vent. And so this person says, this is a quote from somebody. They say, "Last night around 2:30 a.m., my phone sent my girlfriend my entire photo album over text, but there was no record of it in my messages." And but they were able to find out because they went to their T-Mobile log online, and you can see there was an outgoing message, but it's no record of it in his phone. And his girlfriend was like, "Yo, why'd you send me your picture?" You know, and so.
Oh my God.
Isn't that the scariest thing in the world?
Yeah, that's like terrifying because in this day and age, not only do we have like lovers and bays saved in our phone, but you also have like I have both of the cell phone numbers of my chairs, my apartment.
Your parents.
My parents.
So people have their pastors.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, so we have people's contact information that we deal with in only really a professional capacity.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't imagine. I would be like,
there's
no.
Always like you know, people you have business meetings with, next time you see them, they're like looking at you laughing.
Yeah, no. But
happened?
You know, again, for me, I have had a cell phone probably since my sophomore year in college.
You were
right?
Lucky.
So
you got to go to the cell phone early.
No, but I mean that's not really early. I mean, considering that we're like dealing with generations.
You never had
folks,
like a beep. You never had like a beeper or nothing.
I did. I had a purple pager back in the day. Yes, I had a purple pager, and I lived. But I think that you know, again, like when we think about our friend MJ, for instance, she's probably had a cell phone for. Like, probably since she was, like, 10 or 11 and know how to navigate
like my,
and operate
it. Like, my niece has one.
So, that to say, I'm not from the generation who does the sexting thing, first of all.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm just, like, you know.
So, you good.
I mean, I'm real good. Yeah. You know, I'm Gucci when it comes to any kind of sexting and you know.
Back in our day, you had to really, for real, get, like, an instant camera.
Yeah.
And,
print them out.
Like, set the timer and, like, pose and take it to, like, the 24-hour place. And
no, definitely. And that's what I'm saying. I couldn't do that because then somebody was developing them.
Yeah.
So the person developing the photos was going to be seeing all your goodies and all your – I mean, I'm really from the generation where Polaroid. Not the new Polaroids.
Polaroid.
Not the new Polaroid camera.
You had to shake.
Yeah, and again, that's really my mom. My mom did the Polaroid thing.
Okay.
Back in the day when she's like in her early 30s, and it's time for those things. Whereas me, I'm too young for the Polaroid, and now they have the new Polaroids. But those like new Polaroids, they're real cute.
What are the new Polaroids?
It's like new Polaroid cameras.
Okay.
And
do they still do the instant picture?
Yeah, they do the instant picture, but they're so tiny and minuscule.
Oh no! I saw. Yeah, my friend Spencer had like their really little bitty.
Yeah.
Those would make for no good.
That's what I'm saying. So like sexting for the Polaroid effect, I was too young. Now I'm just too old. So I just I'm Gucci.
Yeah. So listeners out there who are under, what would you say, like under like 30, they need to be careful.
Uh huh. And I mean, there's some
people. There's
some folks. I mean, I know you probably send dirty photos.
No, I don't send. I receive.
Okay. Well,
the inbox is open.
Well, either way,
listeners, you know, my email is on the website. If you want to send the pictures, just make sure you ain't got no Samsung phone.
Okay. But yeah, like I don't have.
All right. All right. That's fair enough. That's fair enough. Let that be a lesson to all of us to just show it in person.
Yes.
Doc, let's take a break. When we come back, before we end, I want to talk a little bit about Poe. We're finally caught up on Pose.
Yes.
We promised that we talk about it, so we'll do that when we come back. Let the people know who we are.
You're listening to Strange Fruit by Louisville Public Media.
You hear our stories every day on WFPL, but there's always more to talk about.
When I started researching this story, I was shocked.
So then I had to go back and come up with a whole new way of looking at it.
I went digging and digging and digging for sources for this piece.
The more I understood, the more I felt that this was a very important issue that needed more coverage.
Recut, a behind the news podcast, every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcast. From Louisville Public Media.
Welcome back. You're listening to Strange Fruit by Louisville Public Media.
So we've been attending to for a couple weeks, get caught up on Pose.
Yes.
I've been watching it from the pretty, well, not the start. I mean, I watched it like the second week, but you finally got caught up.
I did.
This past week's episode was really, really brilliant.
I mean, Pose is always trying to take me to tears, ugly crying.
Yeah, you cried like three times.
I mean, just even, and I have to pause the episode. Like, I have to, you know, thank God for DVR because, like, some scenes in there are just so good and so well done and so moving that I have to literally pause and catch
and
my
marinate.
Breath.
Yeah, we had to marinate.
Yes. I mean, it's such a beautiful show. The content is so authentic to the house ball scene, to the 80s, to the different individual and collective struggles of Black, queer, and Latinx folks in New York City. I love everything about it. I mean, every of the cast.
Yeah, who are your favorite characters? Like, what do you love about the different characters?
I love Blanca. Yeah, I love Blanca because of the way that she mothers her
perseverance.
Yeah, her perseverance, her intentionality behind the way in which she mothers her kids. You know, she's always meddling in their business, but that's a good mother. Yeah. I love
Electra's fashions. You love Electra's and her reads.
First of all, I love Electra's reads. You know, when she was like last episode, when she was like, she was like, I didn't know they made trophies in travel size by brick. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Lecture reads.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
She reads for blood. Like, oh, my God. I love everything about her. I love her cheekbones, especially her facial expressions. I love that she brings that red wagon to every ball.
To collect her trophies.
To every ball, she brings that red wagon because she knows that her house is going to clean up and that, you know, always coming for the girls, like, ooh, walk a face category. I mean, she's the best, and I love Pray Tell.
I was going to say, Pray Tell is really, I mean, he's a really, really endearing. And this was a really, because we've seen him as kind of the elder statesperson, the life of the party, the gatekeeper, but we haven't seen much of his, like, Dale, he's always, you know, keeping it hype, keeping them all going, and we really got to see his vulnerability, right?
But that episode, that last monologue, baby.
Yeah.
That last monologue.
We don't want to give it away, y'all, but the episode,
when Pray Tell, you know, is basically dealing with the reality
love
of...
Love is the message is what the episode
you know,
is
of his partner, you know, dying, and what the HIV/AIDS crisis looked in the 80s, how brutal the Reagan administration, the city of New York, treated folks who were HIV positive, you know, the facilities they had to go to. I mean, the hospital. I mean, they're getting
everything.
Yeah, because
the hospital was, like, run down. You were like, is this an abandoned factory?
I'm
like,
I'm like, is this a makeshift hospital?
Like, they didn't have any kind of decor. There was no desire to put flowers or balloons. So they felt like, how do you provide hope for a place where people at that time felt like they were going to die?
I mean, Billy Porter, the singing last episode. Shout out to Janet Mock for the director debut at the last. I mean, it's everything. I mean, the writers, the directors, I mean, especially this last episode, and basically any of the episodes, any of them. I also love Angel. You know, Angel's my girl.
Angel, really,
I love Angel. Yeah. I mean, her kind of quiet, you know, just quiet fierceness. I mean, she's so feminine and beautiful and, like, you know,
but still has her own vulnerabilities and insecurities despite the fact that everyone looks at her like you're the realest and you're the prettiest you got it made.
Of the cast members basically. Yeah, yeah, I mean, I every single one it. Of them.
Well, we've sent a few interview requests to FX. So listeners, please keep your fingers crossed. If anybody listens to our show who works for FX, hook it up. You know what I'm saying? But hopefully we can talk to some people. from the cast, because it really is, I think, a really, really groundbreaking.
And even if we can talk to Jenna Mock again, I mean, we've talked to her before. Several years ago, we talked to Jenna Mock, and this is when her Redefining Realness book was coming out.
Yeah.
So we would love to talk to Janet again. We'd love to talk to any of the cast members.
Absolutely, all of them. All of them, so...
Yes.
Anyway, well, Doc, what another fun show. It's always fun spending time with you.
I know. It's my favorite time.
Yes.
So it's my favorite time during the week.
Well, I'll tell you what. Can we do it again next week?
We can.
All right. We are out of time. Say goodbye, Doc.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Strange Fruit is produced by Louisville Public Media. Our editor is Laura Ellis. Our engineer is Kojin Toshiro.
For more information about Strange Fruit, visit strangefruitpod.org, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at strangefruitpod.
The views expressed on Strange Fruit do not reflect those of Louisville Public Media, its staff, or its underwriters.
Strange Fruit is produced by me, Kyla Story.
And me, Jason Gardner.
Thanks for listening.